degrees. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 73 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
Once again with Christian Miller taking him down.
It's time for the Miller's Edge with New York Giants legend and South Carolina Hall of Famer Corey Miller
and his son,
four-time SEC champion
and two-time national champion Christian Miller.
And knocked down again, it was Christian Miller.
Here is college football playoff national champion
Christian Miller
on Tide 100.9
and 1230 AM WTBC.
Welcome into this Thursday edition of the Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC, presented by the Good Feast Store, America's Arts Support Experts. Hope everybody's doing well. Hope you guys are ready for another fun one here on the Miller's Edge. Going to dive into a number of topics, and I'm going to be honest with you guys, man. Eastern Illinois, it's Thursday. This is our first, I guess, opportunity at really talking about these guys. I'm just going to preface by saying this. I have not done the deep dive that I typically do. I'll give you guys some stats, some facts, some things to look out for. But I'm going to be completely honest with you guys. I mean, we all know this is one of those games. It's about us. And it's about getting back on schedule, getting back in a rhythm. So I think we'll probably lean a little bit more into the things that we need to do in terms of that, focusing ourselves, what I would like to see us show in this game. No disrespect to these guys, but we know how this thing goes. So that's going to be a little bit more of how we go about it this week. And then don't worry, Auburn next week. Not to jump the gun, but just know we'll definitely do a deep dive in that one. Last regular season game of the season. Plus, it's the Iron Bowl, right? So we're going to have to go big and have a good week next week. So we'll definitely bring plenty of content to you guys and at you. So be on the lookout for that. But for today, man, we'll talk a little bit about Eastern Illinois. We'll talk about what we need to see out of our guys and probably started talking a little bit more about some Alabama basketball, Chase. We did get a big win last night, and I don't know how much of you that you caught the game. Now, we didn't play Eastern Illinois. We played regular Illinois in men's basketball. Got the dub 90-86. Chase, did you get to catch that game by chance?
I did. I caught a good chunk of it when I was done covering the women's basketball game. Shout out to them. But it was a good game. Illinois is everything what I expected them to be, but shout out to Bama for really holding up their own, especially in a raucous crowd like they did in Chicago. That was really like a, in my opinion, like a Final Four type of matchup. You saw a lot of fireworks, LeBaron Filon, so many others that contributed, man. It was crazy. I think the one thing that officiating, they've got to clean it up. It is just something that has been.
Don't get fined, Chase. Be careful, brother. You can't.
I can confirm, no deny.
You don't get fined, Chase. You know how you can't talk about the officials in the media now. Come on, Chase.
You're right. I'll back it up. There were some.
You have a check, a fine sitting on that desk over at Town Square, brother. Be careful.
Well, if they can confine me, go ahead, because I'm broke. So good luck. But it was a great game overall, honestly. You got to watch it. It was a treat. If you didn't, please go watch the highlights. I think it really showed why we love college basketball so much. You should be really proud of your Crimson Tide for what they did last night. Excuse me.
Yeah, I mean, going on the road, man, getting a top 10 win again. Illinois was number 8, was undefeated on the year. Very short season so far, right? I mean, they've only played. That was their 5th game, our 4th. But you're right, Filon making that difference, man, showing every bit, he's worth every bit of whatever we had to do to get him to come back. Because remember, initially, you know, I think he was on the fence about returning or what this season, but definitely glad he did. Aiden Holloway also had 11 points. Taylor Bol had 12. He's a freak athlete. Bol Bowen. I promise you, these names, bro, like names in sports are like harder than ever. Maybe I'm just, I don't know, dyslexic or something, but. He finished with 12, the Florida State transfer, if I remember correctly. So, I'm going to be honest with you, Chase. I think this team, man, we got some dudes. I'm a big Aiden Holloway fan. He's from the Carolinas originally, so I've always, you know, been a fan of his, and he had a big game as well. But definitely a big-time dub. And you talk about starting the season off with, I mean, some challenges, man. I mean, Nate Oates, man. I don't know if he intentionally, I'm sure he does, but I mean, you're talking about scheduling some tough games, but that's how you know what you got in your team. I mean, you get challenged early and you know what you need to get better at and the things that you might be doing well and all that good stuff. But nonetheless, another big time win, top 10 win. Now, I don't think we have another home game. I was just thinking about this. I don't think we have another home game until like December 3rd in like a few weeks. I think it actually will be against Clemson, right? So if you guys are excited to catch Alabama men's basketball in person, I think you got to wait a few more weeks until Clemson comes to town. But they're doing their thing, man, and it's looking like we're going to have another exciting year of basketball. So I'll definitely plan on, like I told you guys, I plan on getting some people on here to talk a little bit more in depth about basketball. I mean, me and Chase would definitely cover it, you know, briefly, I guess. But once we really, you know, once football season's done and it's ready to think of basketball season, don't worry, we'll really do deeper dives. But right now, I'm just trying to focus a little bit more on the football side of things. But I'll line up some stuff with some folks for sure. But another top 10 win for Alabama men's basketball. So shout out to those guys getting it done on the road, 90-86 over Illinois Fighting. Chase, how do you pronounce their thing? Illini? Is that right? The Illini? Am I saying that right, guys? I don't know. I'm having a problem.
Yeah, you're saying it right.
Yeah, for some reason, I was like, have I been saying this wrong the whole time? Bro, I'm like second guessing myself. Ever since these names, like, I'm not going to lie to you, I feel like I don't know how to pronounce stuff. Like, maybe I need to go back to school. Like, I'm studying Spanish, but maybe I clearly need to go back and study English. I can't pronounce English stuff now. Maybe that's part of it. Maybe I'm, I don't know, all over the place. Let's do this. We got to hit our first timeout when we come back. We'll keep on rolling. 205-342-9904 is number to the phone lines if you guys want to get on the action. I'm sure you guys got plenty of questions. Like I said, we're going to talk a little bit about Eastern Illinois, but definitely want to talk a little bit more about us, right? We heard from Jan Miller. We talked a little bit about putting that on the backs for their performance or the lack of running game the last couple of weeks. That's one thing just to kind of jump ahead that I really want to see show up in this game. And hey, all you guys out there, keep spamming one guy's name, AK Deer. Maybe we'll end up seeing him in this game, and you guys will get what you want. We'll see. We'll talk about it and more coming up right on the Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9.
343-8070 to book your appointment today. That's 205-343-8070, located in the DCH Medical Tower. Live Well Primary Care. It's time.
This is Miller's Edge on Tide 100.9.
Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC, presented by the Good Feet Store, America's Arch Support Expert. Speaking of those guys, they are still doing that Good Feet Kick for Challenge, so don't miss out on it. You have time. Go to the website right now, goodfeetkickforcash.com. Sign up. All it takes is your name, your email address. It's a simple process, and you get put in the, I guess, the drawing for it. If you get selected, you get a chance to go kick some field goals, and if you make them, you win some free cash, right? That's as I mean, it's literally that simple. So make sure you guys do that. And plus, if you are dealing with any type of pain, foot pain, knee pain, or back pain, make sure you check out the Good Feet Store. I promise you these things are game changers. You can find them in Midtown Village here in Tuscaloosa. They are nationwide. There's various locations throughout Alabama, Birmingham, Mobile, to name a couple. Just type in your zip code on their website, goodfeet.com. It's a different website than the contest one. Goodfeet.com. It'll show you the nearest location to you, more information, how they work. Plus, it's try before you buy. Walk-ins are welcome, or you can schedule an appointment while you're there. But just check them out. I promise you, you will not be disappointed. These things are incredible. Again, that is the Good Feet Store, improving the quality of people's lives 2 feet at a time. All right. So like I said, we'll talk a little bit here in a minute about Eastern Illinois. I promise we'll show more love to basketball down the road. I don't want to just seem like we're just not impressed by the big win they got yesterday. We'll save that for when basketball is a little bit more. Well, football is still, we're hot right now, so we got to stick with that. But in terms of this weekend, we're going to talk a little bit more about what Alabama needs to do. Not necessarily in this game, because I think we all could literally probably put a blind bet of whatever amount that Alabama's going to win this football game. I know I'm going against my saving philosophy, but being where your feet are, respecting everybody, I do believe that. But come on now. I'm in the media now. I'm just going to call a spade a spade. We don't need to do that deep of a dive on these guys. If we can't just line up and beat Eastern Illinois, maybe the committee is on to something. That said, I want to get y'all's opinion. What are y'all looking forward to? And I'll talk about mine in a minute, but what are y'all looking forward to for this weekend? Like, what do y'all want to see out of this team, right? We see how the committee views us. We hear them talking about the running game. You guys have seen the offense stall a little bit over the last few weeks. Defense is playing solid. Special teams look pretty damn bad. What are the things that you guys are going to be focusing on this game that you want to see Alabama come out of it that makes you feel a little bit better going into the Iron Bowl and then hopefully going into an SEC championship game and postseason in the future, right? So what are those things? I want to talk about those with you guys. 205-342-9904. We already got Robbie up first, so let's go ahead and ask him. Robbie, welcome in. Robbie, you with us?
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yeah, there you go. What's up, Robbie?
Yeah, doing good. I'm glad to call back in, and I'm glad to hear you talking about basketball. It was an exciting game last night. You know, we normally don't get these games till, you know, late in the season in the Elite Eight, Sweet 16, and these have been some great matchups, great games, so, and Bama's playing great, so it's been fun to watch. But as far as...
They got another good one Monday. Gonzaga. They got Gonzaga. Gonzaga. 13 ranked. I mean, shoot. Nate Oates, man, we talk about gauntlets with football, man. He set up the basketball gauntlet like, off the rip. I mean, he ain't even won any, I guess warm-up games or any of that. I mean, we're going straight into the big boys, which, I think it's going to make us better down the stretch.
Oh, definitely. It's going to make these guys ready for the SEC because they're going to see everything. I mean, the strength of schedule is out the roof. But this weekend, I just want to see if the team, you know, gets back to just playing their football. It doesn't matter who your opponent is, you know, cleaning up everything, getting ready for Auburn, getting ready for the playoffs that I still believe we'll be in. And also, you know, I hope we put up a lot of points so our kicker and our snapper and our holder get back, you know, some confidence, and because we're going to need them down the stretch. So I want to see that and just everybody coming together and not playing down to your opponent, but getting ready and playing Alabama football. That's what I want to see.
Absolutely. I think that's the most important thing. Hey, go ahead.
I had a question about our tight end team. Because, I mean, he's just having a great season. And is it our scheme? Is it because he lines up so many different places to figure out who's covering them? Or is it because our receivers are so good they can't just the guy? Is it just he's just that good? Because, I mean, he makes play after play. And I think he is a threat and a weapon that we don't use enough, personally.
Yeah, no, I agree with you, Robbie. I'll say this. I think those things that you mentioned, I do think they play a factor, right? I mean, anytime you have a lot of attention being drawn by your receivers, it is going to open up other aspects or other players. While that is true, I got to give a whole hell of a lot of props and credit to Josh Quavis. I mean, he's just a really good football player. I mean, he does well with his run blocking assignments. I'm not saying he's perfect, but he's a big, strong guy. So, you know, he can line up and block in that C area. And look, even though he might not be perfect, he at least gives a lot of effort. And he's going to give you what he's got. And then in the passing game, you talk about how effective he's been. I mean, look, man, a lot of that is on him, man. He runs good routes. I mean, he's not anything, you know, not the craziest athletic guy, but you don't have to be when you're smooth and you're technical with the things that you do. He's very reliable. He's got great hands. His ability after the catch is extremely good. To me, man, you know, me and my dad talk about it all the time. I mean, your tight end is almost like your quarterback's best friend, right? I mean, they, you know, a lot of shallow, quick stick routes, things like that. You can get the ball out quick, and it's almost like a security blanket. And when you have a guy like that that has, you know, after catch ability and he's reliable with his hands, man, it allows you to put more trust in him. And so they can call up a number of things, whether it's, you know, delayed screens, just regular screens, just trying to find him, you know, wherever you can, right, to just let him make plays. You can rely on him. And I think that's probably his biggest attribute, man. He's outside of Jeremy Bernard. I mean, he's probably the most reliable guy on that offense for Ty. So he's just a really good football player, man. I mean, to me, he looks like he's going to end up having himself a long pro career because and he can kind of do everything that you need him to do. He's got the size, he's got the athletic ability, and he's probably the most, I would argue, he's probably one of the most improved guys that I've seen in terms of, I mean, last year he showed flashes and glimpses, but like for what he's doing right now, man, he's been playing some damn good football.
Yeah, I mean, that Oklahoma game, I was watching them, and it was like, you know, Oklahoma is known for their defense, and they got after us. But every time he would line up, if he wasn't at tight end, he was at slot. He was at wide receiver. Then he'd go in motion. And it looked like it confused Oklahoma's defense. And then when he got the ball, he was just – he hurdled the guy. He ran over some guys. Like, he was just – it was good to watch. And I was kind of wishing they would have got back to that on the 4th and 7, that last play, instead of that out route to, you know, Ryan, found him somewhere, because it looked like they didn't have an answer for him. I'm just looking forward to
how
it goes the rest of the year.
Yeah, well, here's the thing, man. Tight ends are always going to be, or at least have the potential to be mismatch caliber type guys, right? Because, like you mentioned, if he's in the C area, I mean, it's either going to be a linebacker or a strong safety. If he's in the slot, it could be a linebacker playing out in the apex. Could be a nickel corner. It could be a safety. What I'm getting at is he's going to be bigger than all those guys. You can check that box.
Yeah.
Maybe a linebacker. There might be an outside linebacker that sizes him up. But even though that linebacker is probably as big as him, the linebacker typically is not going to be as athletic. So he has an ability to be, you know, a mismatch nightmare for a lot of guys. And that's why having a tight end like that is almost instrumental. I mean, if you look at all the successful teams, they typically have a really good tight end. You go back to the Eagles, you go back to the Chiefs. I mean, like literally the Ravens, right? Mark Andrews, the best teams normally have a really good tight end because it's like that security blanket for your quarterback, and they can create a lot of mismatches. So, you know, he's a big piece of this offense. This is clearly his last year, unfortunately. But the good news is, man, they scouted another good one in Caleb Edwards. I think he's got a lot of potential and a lot of ability similar to Quavis, where I think he's a similar type of player, which makes me feel good. And you know, we still kind of wonder. I mean, Danny Lewis, I thought Danny Lewis was going to be able to be a similar type player because I know he's physical. He can block in the C area for sure. And, you know, throughout the first couple of years of him being on campus, I watched him make some very athletic plays in the passing game, but I know he's been banged up and whatnot. But unfortunately, man, he hadn't really had, you know, much of an opportunity to contribute. But, again, you know, Quavis and Edwards doing a good job there. But, yeah, man, they're important to have, and I'm glad we got some good ones, because I remember that was a position going into the season. We were a little had some question marks there, but they've definitely exceeded expectations.
Yeah, I think they have, too. That was awesome. Last thing is the good feed store, the kick. I was at the Oklahoma game, and that kid got a chance to kick for, I want to say it was 10 grand, maybe a 40-yarder or something. Man, he boomed it, but just pulled it just a little left. But it was up in the stands. Mm. Like, he boomed it. But missed out on 10 grand.
We might need to sign him up. I don't know if he's in school. No disrespect to our guys. But, I mean, you always can have some depth, man. Maybe he needs to provide some depth at kicker for us. Man, I keep telling everybody, sign up, man. Hey, listen, it's free money. Goodfeetkickforcash.com, man. It's literally your name, email, sign up. You get selected, man. Go out there and get your
world
record on, hopefully. Yeah, you never know, man.
Yeah.
Dang. I hate that he pulled
that. All right,
Chris. We'll see this weekend. Rob, hey, good to hear from you. How's Stryker doing?
He's actually doing really good, Christian. You know, ever since we had those injections in his hips, you know, they're both fractured, so he has a lot of pain. So every 3 months we get injections, and that helps him. You know, I'm assuming at night you stretch a little bit, and it wakes him up, and then he's in a lot of pain. So they give these injections, and they work well. He can't have surgery. He would never survive the surgery of being put under. So they just basically have to deal with that as long as he's with us, just getting injections every 3 months. But it's a 8-inch needle goes into both hips, and they shoot it up with Botox and, you know, the cortisone. And he doesn't even flinch. But I don't know how he takes it.
Wow.
But he's a tough kid,
man.
But I appreciate it. Did you ever get your T-shirt?
I haven't been up there in a minute, man, but they've got it waiting on me. Yeah. Listen, once you get a nice little setup, man, it's hard to not utilize it. But no, but trust me, as soon as I make that way, I'll, they got it waiting on me. So it ain't going anywhere. I'm going to grab it.
All I got you. All right. Well, yes, love listening to the show, Christian.
Yes, sir. I appreciate you, Robbie.
All right, bud.
Yes, sir. Take care. Good deal, man. Good stuff. Again, Stryker Strong, man. If you haven't checked their stuff out, man, Stryker is Robbie's son, man. He, as you heard, definitely deals with some health complications. But he's a tough guy, man. Tough guy for sure. And they're always doing events and fundraisers, things like that. So you can check them out. Stryker Strong. I think it's strykerstrong.com. But I know if you Google it, it definitely will come up. But great people, great family, man, and big supporters of all the shows here on the station. All right, we got to hit a timeout real quick. When we come back, we'll keep on rolling. Again, we're talking about Eastern Illinois this weekend. A lot of focus more so being on Alabama. What you guys want to see out of the group and how you see them respond, right? A little bit different this time around, right? We all knew what the response we needed after Florida State. This was a bit different, man. I mean, it's different type of game, different type of loss. So we'll keep talking about it when we come back right here on the Miller's Edge.
Sequel Pure Z's, just for sleep. Really great sleep.
These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. These products are not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Use as directed.
Do you have cracks or potholes that are dragging down your property's appeal? Hey, I'm Christian Miller, and at Asphalt Restoration, we transform driveways and parking lots with expert repairs, new paving, or resurfacing. Fast, durable, and family-owned quality that you can trust. Don't let small issues turn into big expenses. Call 205-393.
Just like closest to the pin and more. Spots are filling fast, so email lmaddox@capstuscaloosa.com or call 205-758-1159 to register today.
From our home base in Birmingham, Alabama,
we are here
treating patients from every generation
across the United States
and from around the world.
We're here for the rookies
and the dreamers
trying to make a name for themselves.
We are here for the achievers
who are resilient
and won't take no for an answer.
We're here for the coaches,
athletic trainers, and mentors.
How they offer? You can get a free gutter inspection plus up to 35% off. This is our best offer of the season. Unlock it now at leaffilter.com/trust. See representative for warranty details.
This is Miller's Edge on Tide 100.9.
The Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC, presented by the Good Feet Store, America's Arch Support Expert. You heard Robbie, man. Dude had a shot and went some serious cash, man. That could be you. GoodFeetKickForCash.com is where you sign up. And hopefully you guys get selected. I would love for one of our listeners to get selected and go win a whole bunch of money. Please let that happen, man. I would love that. We're talking about this game this week in Eastern Illinois coming to Tuscaloosa. 11 a.m. kick. I'll give you some numbers and some things here in a minute, but I know we got some conversations going in the chat really about what we want to see, what we're looking at for our team here in Alabama, how they respond. I said it before we went to break, Chase. I feel like this is a little bit different, right? After the Florida State game, I mean, it was very clear. Like, we had a lot of things that needed to be, you know, cleaned up and corrected, but most importantly, like, it was an intensity issue, right? It was a lack of physicality issue. It was an issue with guys not giving effort, right? Like, it was very clear what we needed to see. I think this one's a little bit different, right? I mean, I look at this game, Chase, the way you respond to this one, I think really, if I'm looking at it, like, it's the whole picture. Defensively, we've been playing some good football. I mean, really just need to, you know, get some more turnovers going. But I also would say, continuing to press forward, right? Doing what we've been doing the last few weeks. And then I say, on the offense side of things, we just got to get another rhythm going. We got to get back in a groove offensively, because it just feels like the past three or so games, more or less, we just haven't been as in sync as we've been. And I think it's, you know, attributed to a number of things. I think it's definitely 100% not having a consistent running game. That's a fact. We've become a lot more one-dimensional. Then what happens is exactly like I've been talking about. When you are one-dimensional, defenses, they play you differently, right? They start trying to take away those things because they're not really respecting you running the football. They can pin their ears back. They can call all these simulated exotic pressures and really make it even more of a challenge, even throw the football, and that's what you're supposed to be good at. And now you're not really consistently doing anything great, right? So that's for me, Chase, that's what I'm looking at in this game. I want to see us go out there and impose our will in the running game. Will it completely settle things for me knowing that it's Eastern Illinois? No, like, we should literally go out there and rush for 150 plus. Like, I mean, we should, knowing the circumstances and who we're playing. But I just, even more so, like, I want to see guys be able to go out there and build up that confidence doing it, right? Executing their assignments, right? Like, getting that initial push, having the right, taking the right steps, climbing to the next level, right? Finishing your blocks, sustaining those blocks, because that's been one of the biggest issues, really. I mean, it's really just that. I mean, just not sustaining it. We pulled it up. We've watched plenty of tape here on this show, on this channel, and we see a very common theme. You know, a lot of the time, guys are initially blocking correctly, like they're doing the right assignments, but then they don't finish, right? A guy, you know, lets his guy just shed him, and instead of it being a 6, 7, 8 yard gain, ends up going for two. And then the backs, just like Jam talked about, they've got to be able to trust their O-line. And it's funny that Jam used that same terminology, because that's what Rodney Anderson, who came on our show, former Oklahoma running back, had mentioned. You know, that you got to be able to have that trust and confidence in your O-line. They've got to do that, right? So if there's a hole that they need to be pressing or hitting, they've got to trust that it's going to be there, and then hit it, and then go out there and execute. So to me, those are a couple of things. You know, the running game, I want to see great execution, but also even the passing game, I want to see us get that confidence again to really, you know, deliver the football down the field. Not saying we haven't done it. We've made plays down the field, but I feel like the consistency in which we were doing it earlier on in the year was much greater than what we've seen recently. Those deep shots haven't connected nearly as much as they had before. We're still seeing, you know, the, you know, attack in the middle of the field pretty solidly, but I mean, just think back, Chase. I mean, those hole shots, those digs, right? Those posts and those things that we were hitting earlier on in the year. And I mean, I feel like Ty couldn't miss. We haven't had that same rhythm. So really offensively, I want to see rhythm. I want to see a running game. I want to see great execution. So I know all those things will help reestablish that confidence for our guys that we desperately need going into the Iron Bowl, SEC championship game, and so forth. Because it's only going to get, you know, more difficult, right? I mean, next 2 weeks, right, you start with really after this one, you got to go on the road, you know, that's going to be a challenge. Then for that SEC championship game, barring any changes there, playoffs, right, the room for error becomes a lot more slim, right? And the things that we've seen offensively that have been issues the last few weeks, you can't go into these games in a few weeks and expect to be able to commit those same mistakes and not have, you know, things happen like you did with Oklahoma, right? So that's personally what I'm going to be paying attention to in this game. Chase, what about you, man? Anything that stands out for you? I'm going to read this chat here in a second, but I wanted to ask you real quick. Anything for you that you want to see out of Alabama this upcoming weekend? I hate calling it like, oh, tune-up game or a game. But I mean, let's just call it for what it is. We're not going to sit here and sugarcoat it. That's what it is. And real quick, special teams, I need that to be cleaned up. That's the other thing I forgot to hit. What about you, Chase?
Man, you took it right out of my mouth. I was about to say special teams. That has been the glaring issue out of the whole season. Even the running game, you know, has been a lot of question marks. But, yeah, to piggyback off what you said, Christian, I just want to see Alabama impose their will to the point where they're having to adjust the clock in the fourth quarter because there's just too many points on the board. I want it to be a clean sweep. I need this to be an execution on every side of the ball. Seriously, this is your, and I hate to do this. I know this is not what Nick Saban wants to hear right now, but we're looking at Auburn right now. That is the glaring bullseye on that wall. That is what we're looking forward to. And unfortunately, Eastern Illinois, and nothing against them, but this is a game that has to be dealt accordingly. Once that kickoff is on and going, it's guns blazing, honestly. I should see a lot of better running, like you said. 150 plus is the minimum. There has to be a lot. It has to be better, especially when you're going against an Auburn team that has a good defense. Especially they're good at stopping the run. I'm looking more on the defensive side, really. I feel like the linebacking core has been a little bit shaky as of late. Nothing to be concerned about, Christian, but, you know, I want to see more physicality, more getting the ball. You know, I want to see some strip sacks. I want to see something where you want to see the quarterback in duress. And like I said earlier, the special teams has to be fixed. One thing I've learned about the Auburn and Alabama history is kicking matters. Kicking matters. It will make or break your season easily. And, you know, if they can fix that, if I can see a little bit more field goals here and there, maybe some 30 yards, maybe even try 50, you know, get Talty's his confidence back up, then I feel a lot better. But yeah, this, I don't want to give a score prediction just yet, but I just need Alabama to really execute in a way where it's like they're heading into Auburn with so much confidence that it's like, oh, even though it's a 6:30 kickoff, that doesn't matter. Night game, okay, whatever. Auburn, cool. We're here to dominate from the first quarter to the fourth quarter, plain and simple.
No, I'm with you, man. I think that should be the name of the game, man. Get back on track, get that confidence up, and make sure you head into the next one, you know, ready to go. Because we all know that what comes with that. Now, I'm not trying to, I know some people, oh, man, it's Auburn. We're not worried about that. It's not about that. You know what comes with this game. It's always going to be physical. They're always going to play you the best that they've played the entire season. You know it's going to be a hostile environment, especially when you're on the road at Jordan-Hare in a night game. I mean, you know those are going to be factors, right? So you just want to make sure that you're equipped and you're prepared for the battle that you're about to take on. So I'm agreeing with you. Only thing, Chase, I might give you some pushback on. You mentioned linebackers. I will say this. I've actually been impressed with linebacker play. Maybe it's because I've been focused in on, like I said, like 41, man. I can't say enough. The way he's played over the last couple weeks, even last game against Oklahoma, man, he's been great. You know, he's been a bright spot, definitely. And I'll even say this, man. I think Deontay Lawson's looked a lot more comfortable as of late. So for me, I look at that spot that I think they're playing better than they were earlier in the year. But to be fair, I'm with you, man. You always can improve. Right? There ain't nothing wrong with the challenge. And I'm always with that for sure. That said, let's hit this timeout. When we come back, we'll keep on rolling. We'll talk a little bit more about Eastern Illinois. I got a couple numbers and some things we'll throw at you. Then we'll respond to you guys too in the chat that have dropped y'all's answers about what you guys want to see. Plus, if you guys want to get on the action, 205-342-9904. We are open on the phone line, so make sure you guys take advantage of that. You listen to the Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230, WTVC.
The perfect play call for your party. So before kickoff, remember that football starts with food. Fusackley's, proud partner of the Crimson Tide.
Do you have cracks or potholes that are dragging down your property's appeal? Hey, I'm Christian Miller, and at Asphalt Restoration, we transform driveways and parking lots with expert repairs, new paving, or resurfacing. Fast, durable, and family-owned quality that you can trust. Don't let small issues turn into big expenses. Call 205-393-914.
Lose a Tractor, Castaway Fish Co., Crimson Fried Hunting and Fishing, Precision Armory, Jumpson Grocery, Urbans, Military Surplus R Us, and Adams Heating and Cooling.
From our home base in Birmingham, Alabama, we are here treating patients from every generation
across the United States
and from around the world.
We're here for the rookies
and the dreamers
trying to make a name for themselves.
We are here for the achievers
who are resilient
and won't take no for an answer.
We're here for the coaches,
athletic trainers, and mentors
who are shaping the next generation of legends.
We are here for you,
aggressively pursuing victory over injury.
Learn more at andrewsportsmedicine.com.
95.3 The Bear
and Sports Radio Tide 100.9
and 1230 AM WTBC
are partnering with Baumhauer's Victory Grill this season
to put you in the best seats in the house at Bryant-Denny Stadium. Sign up online at 953thebear.com,
on the app,
or the Tide 100.9 app.
Each week,
we'll pick a winner for a pair of tickets to an Alabama home football game. Baumhauer's Big Three Grill,
with two locations in Tuscaloosa,
Harper Lee Drive and Baumhauer South on Courtney Drive. Let Baumhauer's Big Three Grill put you in the best seats in the house.
With 95.3 The Fair
and Sports Radio Tide 100.9
and 1230 AM WTVC.
Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
A warm afternoon, a mix of sun and clouds, the high 79. Becoming cloudy tonight, the low 61. For tomorrow, cloudy with periods of rain, the high 74. Saturday, the chance of a morning shower, the high at 76 degrees. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 74 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
This is Miller's Edge on Tide 100.9.
And welcome back into this Thursday edition of the Miller's Edge. Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC, presented by the Good Feet Store, America's Arts Support Experts. All right, let's talk a little bit about Eastern Illinois. Not too much, but we'll talk about them a little bit, Chase. How's that sound? They're coming to Tuscaloosa as the only FCS team that we've seen this season. They're 3-8 overall, 2-6 in conference play, and they're currently on a 6-game losing streak. So things aren't going too great right now for Eastern Illinois, but they've got the opportunity of a lifetime. They're traveling to Tuscaloosa, Alabama, playing the University of Alabama in Bryant-Denny Stadium. So, you know, I would say when you play a team like that with nothing to lose, you just always got to take them serious. I mean, I don't know how I would compare them. I don't know a whole bunch about them, so I don't know how I'd compare them. But, like, when we played the Citadel, all I know is, man, sometimes you got to go into these games and tell yourself, man, I got to be careful. I mean, because the Citadel legit had nothing to lose to the point where they legit were, like, cutting us. I mean, like, it was bad. It literally was bad. So I will say that. I mean, you got to be careful sometimes with these games because these guys, sometimes, man, they're just trying to make a name for themselves. They'll do whatever possible. I don't expect that, but you never know. But anyway, they're on a 6-game losing streak. They're an FCS team. So, I mean, we kind of know what to expect. But in terms of some stuff to look at for our defense, they're not looking too great offensively. They average about 19 points per game. And they do not pass the ball at all. Not, I shouldn't say at all, but it's bad. They can't pass the ball well at all. They've been using a two-quarterback system. One guy's more of a thrower. The other guy's more of a runner. So I'm sure you can expect a little bit of both in this game. Probably a little bit more of the runner, if I had to guess. I would not – as much as they've struggled to throw the football, I don't think this is the matchup to try to just miraculously start throwing it all over the place. You're talking about Alabama's passing defense being one of the best – statistically, for sure, in the country. So I would not be shocked if we see the running quarterback a little bit more in this matchup. LeCrew is his name. He's got 122 carries for over 500 yards rushing. So that's who I probably would expect to see a little bit more in this game, at least if they're going to try to give themselves any type of chance offensively. We know how that works, right? Dual threat quarterback, they can cause some problems with communication or, you know, assignments, that whole thing. Well, that's probably what you might see. And really, he's the guy. Their running back doesn't have much more on the ground than him. He's got 691 yards on the ground. So, again, this team, they struggle. I mean, there's a reason they're on a 6-game losing streak, and that's playing, you know, people on their level. So just consider that. When you look at this matchup. So I'll be completely honest with you. I think this is going to be one of those games. I mean, we should see a whole hell of a lot of people playing this game. You should see the guy that everybody's calling for right now, A.K. Deere. You should see the other quarterbacks get in this game. I mean, it's got all the writings on the wall of being one of those games where by, what was that? I mean, was the ULM chase? I think by the third quarter, like early third quarter, we already were seeing backups. I mean, I wouldn't be shocked if it's one of those things. And I'm going to be completely honest with you. I'm seeing QD's comment right here. He says, honestly, just don't want any starters or other top backups getting hurt. I wouldn't be mad if we went into this game kind of thinking like that, only because, and you guys know me, if you listen to us talk on the show for a while now, when we've had scenarios like this where people are talking about resting guys or this and that, I've always been against it just because I've always been amongst the mindset of, look, man, you can get hurt in practice. We've all, you know, learned that, right? We've had plenty of practice injuries. Whatever. You know, I've always been on the side of, man, let your guys go play football. I mean, you only get so many opportunities. You literally bust your ass literally year-round in the weight room, in meetings, on the practice field, just to get 12 regular season opportunities, right? I don't think people understand. I mean, like, you literally only get the month of May you have off. Outside of that, you're in school. You're always doing workouts, spring ball, summer workouts, 7-on-7 training. I mean, football is about 10 and a half out of 12 months, right? You only get 12 regular season opportunities. So I've always been like, man, let guys play. However, right now where we're at and seeing how the committee's thinking and in the circumstances, Chase, I'm not going to lie to you. I kind of agree with QD. The final regular season finale against Auburn, I mean, that's not a game you can fool around with. After you drop to Oklahoma, that's not something you can fool around with. And he already got a center who's banged up right now. This is how I look at it. Somebody like him, even if he could go in this game, but he's just like 70, 80%, I would not play Parker Brailsford in this game, personally. And I also would probably look to get our starters out as soon as we can. I'm not saying like, okay, we're playing for half and we're not playing them, but if we're up 30-something points going into the third quarter, get ready to start pulling those guys just because I know how important the Iron Bowl now is. Like, we all know. And it's not like we're running from that. We just know what's on the line. I mean, you can't fool with that one. So, in my opinion, I agree with QD. I would try to get our guys out as soon as possible. But I definitely want to see a quality first half. And I don't want to, and if I'm Coach Caitlin DeBoer, I'm not going to be preaching that because you don't want them having that mindset. I'm just knowing going into it as a coach, that's what we want to do. But I'm not going to share that because you don't want guys then going into like, oh, we just got to go play half of football and we're chilling. I don't think that's the right move either. But that's personally what I would probably do if I was the coach, which I'm not. But I don't know. It's my two cents. That said, we got to hit the top of the hour break. When we come back, we'll keep on talking. Eastern Illinois, Alabama, and more. I want to hear from you guys, 205-342-9904. We got Smitty on the phone lines. We'll go to him next. And after that, we're still open, so make sure you guys do just that. Plus, we'll keep interacting and talking with you guys here on the chat on YouTube. You can always check us out here at the Miller's Edge on the stream if you guys prefer to watch the show. If not, keep listening via FM or that Tide 100.9 app where you can leave app messages, voice messages, and listen to all the shows no matter where you are, nationwide and really worldwide. You can even do it outside the country. So make sure you download that Tide 100.9 app if you haven't already. You're listening to The Miller's Edge presented by the Good Feet Store, America's Art Support Experts. Hour number one down, hour number two, come right up.
WTBC Tuscaloosa and W265CG Tuscaloosa, a Town Square media station. Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app. From the Fox Sports studios in Los Angeles, here's Martin Weiss.
In the NBA, Houston improves to 10-3, beating Cleveland 114-104. Alperen Şengün led the Rockets with 28 points, 11 rebounds, and 7 assists. The Warriors fall to the Heat 110-96. Golden State resting Draymond Green and Steph Curry. The Nuggets beat the Pelicans 125-118. Nikola Jokic with a 28-point, 11 rebound, and 12 assists triple-double. Derrick Queen had 30 points and 9 rebounds. Pelicans, 2 wins on the year. Opposite of that, Thunder improved to 15-1, remaining undefeated at home. They beat the Kings 113-99. Reigning MVP Shai Gilgeous-Alexander had 33 points. 6 players, including quarterback Baker Mayfield and wide receiver Emeka Ibuka, were limited at a Buccaneers walkthrough practice on Wednesday due to illness. And Eagles center Cam Jurgens missed practice due to concussion protocol. Per Pro Football Talk, the Bills are planning on benching wide receiver Keon Coleman again against the Texans. I'm Martin White.
The Tide Tailgate Show is presented by Pearl River Resort in Choctaw, Mississippi. Online at pearlriverresort.com. And by Tuscaloosa Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram. Online at TuscaloosaCDJR.com. And by Two Dimes. Online at twodimes.club. And by Druid City Regional Medical Center. DCHSystem.com.
Do you have cracks or potholes that are dragging down your property's appeal? Hey, I'm Christian Miller, and at Asphalt Restoration, we transform driveways and parking lots with expert repairs, new paving, or resurfacing. Fast, durable, and family-owned quality that you can trust. Don't let small issues turn into big expenses. Call 205-393-9149 for your free estimate today. That's 205-393-9149. Asphalt Restoration, where smooth roads start. Roll Tide.
From our home base in Birmingham, Alabama, we are here treating patients from every generation
across the United States
and from around the world.
We're here for the rookies
and the dreamers
trying to make a name for themselves.
We are here for the achievers
who are resilient
and won't take no for an answer.
We're here for the coaches,
athletic trainers, and mentors
who are shaping the next generation of legends.
We are here for you,
aggressively pursuing victory over injury.
Learn more at andrewsportsmedicine.com.
Hey, it's Christian Miller, and I want to tell you about our great friends over at Brian Harding Construction. Located in the heart of Tuscaloosa, Brian Harding Construction is woman-owned and strong as steel, a specialty manufacturing firm with expertise in structural steel fabrication, ASME code piping and vessels, CNC machine work, welding, laser cutting, pipe fitting, industrial maintenance, and crane rental. With a proven track record of over 30-plus years of experience, no one is better fit for the job. For an evaluation, contact Brian Harding Construction today at 205-752-9611. Again, that's Brian Harding Construction at 205-752-9611.
This is Miller's Edge on Tide 100.9.
Thursday edition of Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230. WTBC, presented by the Good Feet Store, America's Arts Support Experts. I told you about them, but let me remind you about our friends at R&R Cigars. Again, any needs that you have for cigars, cigar equipment, whatever it is, check out R&R Cigars. Go to their website, rnrcigars.com. Use that code Miller's Edge for a discount. Plus, if you need a place to go watch the game this weekend or any game, basketball last night, they're always playing the games, hanging out, having a good time. So check them out, 2703 Gary Fitz Street is where you find them here in Tuscaloosa. Over 160 bourbons that they have. And I just saw Reagan tweet out, they now are officially using the Yay Alabama bourbons and alcoholic beverages for their drinks and whatnot. So if you're curious in trying those, you can do that at R&R Cigars as well. Plus, they are doing that food drive right now, trying to feed 5,000 families. So your donations are much appreciated. You can drop them off at any during any hour of that they're open for business at R&R Cigars. Canned goods, non-perishable items, all that stuff. There's a lot of folks in need this holiday season. Thanksgiving coming up. We all are probably thinking about all the food that we're going to eat. We're just thinking about the ones out there that might not have that opportunity. So if you can help, man, they definitely would appreciate that. And again, that's at R&R Cigars. Go and drop that stuff off there. And if you do, you do qualify for 50% off of one cigar if you do that. So keep that in mind as well. All right. So before we go back to the phone lines, we got a good little conversation going. I thought it'd be a good little topic real quick. We're playing a little bit of a cupcake game. Let's just be honest. We talked a little bit about Eastern Illinois last segment. That being said, there's always different, you know, perspectives about this, right? I mean, you go into it saying, hey, we got a lot of football to play. We got a, you know, a in-state rival to finish the regular season that we know that's going to be a tough game. We've got a SEC championship game hopefully on the line in a few weeks. Then we definitely plan on making the playoffs. Do you go into this game with the mindset that we kind of want to rest our guys because we know what's to come? Or do you, you know, stick with the belief that, nah, man, these guys need as many reps as possible, especially coming off a loss? I understand both arguments. So I'm curious to see what you guys think. I see a lot of people talking about it in our chat right now, so I wanted to throw that out via radio as well. In case you guys wanted to call in and offer your thoughts. Do you rest guys? I'm not saying completely. I'm not saying like, okay, we don't hardly play anybody, but you know what I mean? Had that philosophy going into this game. Or you say, nah, we go out there and we impose our will 60 minutes. The backups get in at some point, they get in. Let me know what you guys think. 205-342-9904 is the number. Kicking off hour number two, we got Smitty up first. Smitty, welcome in.
Hey, Christian, how's it going today?
It's good, bro. How's everything?
Good. It's actually raining in Arizona. Don't like this very much. Kind of cool. Like, yeah,
now we got the one up on you because the sun is coming out now. You guys can see it on the stream. I got a nice sun on my face. And now you guys got the bad weather.
And I'm miserable right now. But, man, first off, before I talk about Alabama, right? I think when people talk about Ohio State schedule, Indiana schedule, I don't think it's about the teams they play. I think it's about the teams with the bodies on the defensive front or the offensive line as well, right? Because think about it, because that's the week in and week out grind that people don't bring up or miss the argument on that. Because think about it, South Carolina has a poor record. They probably got at minimum four guys on that front seven who's going to be in the NFL. And I think that corner Kilgore might be an NFL player too, you know. And they got like three wins on the season, if I remember correctly. And they giving the top dogs of this conference all kinds of problems because they can match physically. I don't think there's It's like, and I'm not blaming Ohio State for this in conference, because in conference you play who you play. They did play Texas. I just think that the physical is like teams that can match you physically and comparable talent wise is something that separates the SEC. You might not show in the record, but it could show, like, look at the NFL draft. Kentucky going to have some guys in the league, and they stink, you know, just how it is.
Yeah, no, you're right. I mean, listen, that was my experience in the SEC. I always talk about it, man. Like, some of the most physical teams I played weren't always the LSUs or the Auburns. I mean, like, we used to always say, it's like Arkansas was never a great team when I was in school here, but they always, best believe, had some big defensive linemen, tall, lengthy guys, strong dudes, their offensive line. I swear, they averaged, like, their offensive line probably averaged, like, 6'6", like, 330, like, across the board. Like, and I don't know what those guys were rated out of high school, but I just know they were big, strong, and they're physical. They might have had two wins on the season, but we knew, I mean, we're going to have to bring it up front. You know what I mean? Like, they might not have had the same skill guys, might not have had a great quarterback, or, you know what I'm saying? But they were going to have some big, strong boys up front. So I agree with you, man. I mean, that's the name of the game, the SEC. And Mississippi State was the same exact way. I mean, I remember Mississippi State had, like, Montez Sweat and that
Chris
other
Jones
guy.
Wasn't,
I mean,
there.
They had Chris. Yeah, I mean, you're talking about guys 6'5", 6'6", like, big, physical, good athletes. I mean, like, these guys, I mean, they're littered on SEC rosters. And I'm sure the Big Ten, I mean, they've got good players too, but I have to agree with you. I think top to bottom, man, like you said, like, South Carolina is a great example. You look at the record of South Carolina, you just say, oh, man, they're bad. Or you watch them play and some of the mistakes they're making offensively, you're like, oh, man, they're a bad football team. But when you watch 93, that defensive tackle from South Carolina, I ain't know much about him going into that game, but I damn sure knew who he was after. Good football player. He had a good game against A&M, too. You mentioned those guys in the back end. Like, that punt returner, he was known as a punt returner for South Carolina. He's returned, like, three kicks. He's a good cornerback. He's tall, lengthy. I mean, played the ball well. Is running with our receivers. I'm like, damn. I mean, like, they've got good talent. They just, unfortunately, man, I mean, they're in a tough conference, and they hadn't had, you know, great breaks all the time. And, you know, it's unfortunate, but they're still a talented football team.
Yeah, and my Alabama take, if you want to rest the players, you put this team away early in the first half. That's how you get your rest. Because I remember, I think it may have been Georgia Southern. Because the 10-horn game, those guys played a little bit later because they didn't put those guys away and they got ran on. But I think with this team, I'm not mad about any deficiencies because I kind of have accepted it early on. It is what it is. And it's no point getting mad or upset about knowing what it is. And it's game 11 for these guys. There ain't no cleaning up. It is what it is. Because some are better off as a lineman. We got some young guys in there. That's going to be growing pains. The quarterback, he has to make his layups and his deep shots and even those deep intermediate passes. See, the reason that these teams are playing up is because they don't fear Ty's deep ball. He's not accurate in that. If you're an accurate deep ball thrower, they're going to have to respect that. They don't respect it right now. And that makes it difficult for the underneath stuff as well, because they can just sit on it. And like with the run game, right, we could block it up all we want. At the end of the day, it's still partly a talent issue. I know it may sound mean, but I watch other running backs in this country who are high 4-stars as well. They make people miss. They spin off people. They're like a guy running free. They make them miss. They'll turn 5 yards into 8 or 9. And they don't respect our backs because they don't have that ability to make you miss and take a home run threat. It is hard. The reason the offense is not what people think it should be is because of that, because you cannot realistically expect your offense to go 9-10 plays every time, because you can't be susceptible to penalties, a turnover, things of that sort. It is hard. You have to be on point every play if you're going 9-10 plays every time.
Yeah, no, I mean, that's true. I mean, we just had to find a way to get those sustainable drives back like we had earlier on in the year, man. I mean, because that honestly was what was separating us, because we didn't have a great running game then. And I just remember looking at those numbers, even Coach Saban commenting on it about it's just not common that you have a team that's so efficient passing the football but controls the clock and the tempo of the game the way that we were doing. And a lot of that came from, you know, those short intermediate passes, right, just setting up some easy rhythm throws for Ty, letting our guys be playmakers. But he also was hitting on those shots that we needed, whether it's those whole shots in cover two, attacking the middle of the field, getting behind those zone defenders, right? I mean, we just got to get that rhythm back going. And I'll say this, I mean, in terms of the downfield plays, I mean, are you talking about just like the deep shots in general, or do you consider like those deep intermediate passes? Do you put that in that category? Because I would argue Ty hitting those digs, man, I mean, he's still pretty solid on those for the most part. Other than he had the one miss against Oklahoma, and I feel like there's two, and another one against South Carolina. But are you considering those when you talk about the deep passing game, or are you talking about just like those deep shots?
But that's one thing I'm talking about, because those kill drives, and that's where the whole we got to go 9-10 plays every time kind of bites you in the butt, because you can't miss. Because you don't have that explosive ability, and when it's there, you got to hit it. And maybe Ty just gets sped up, and he gets a little excited, and it goes high. I don't know. I'm not a coach. I'm just a fan, just stating my opinion. But it seems like he misses those throws high as well. So I don't know if that's part of him being amped up or hurried or whatever, and he just gets a little hurried. But those are drive extenders, and those are big plays.
No, they are, and I think that was what was giving us a lot of success earlier on, because he was hitting all of those at such a high rate. My thing is, Smitty, I think there's a number of things that attribute, right? I mean, I also look at, I got the Oklahoma tape pulled back up, and the way that they're playing things. I mean, they're playing a lot of things deep and short. They were intentionally trying to take away. But this is what made what they were doing defensively really, really sound, because they would have a lot of deep defenders, right? In a number of different coverages, but they would show a lot of guys up front, but they never would bring, I mean, they would show like six guys in the line of scrimmage, but really only bring four or sometimes five. And they still would have a lot of hole players or guys dropping underneath to help kind of just get in those windows. And man, it really was just kind of making things difficult for us to kind of do what we had done in the past, you know, kind of picking apart things, because it seemed like they're showing one look pre-snap and post-snap, they're taking away a lot of those things. Here's what I'll say. I'm not trying to make an excuse for Ty, but I'm just going to point something out. I mean, he does have a lot of pressure on him to make these plays, right? No different than Jalen Milroe had a lot of pressure on him to make a lot of plays too, because when you don't have a consistent running game, you're setting yourself up behind the sticks on first and second down, because think about it, you're putting yourself in more third and long situations. And then you're required to, you have to make a play, right? So you have that pressure. Okay, we have to have this, because we're not in a third and a bunch of third and twos, we're in a bunch of third and seven plus, which is, you know what I mean? Like the statistics will show you. I mean, it's much more difficult to get a first down in that versus third and short. So I think if, like, those things would help out, and just finding ways to just get his confidence back up to get in that rhythm, I think would be big. I just think what happens sometimes is, you know, you can't play perfect all the time. And I think we were fortunate for a big span in the middle of the season where we were having a lot of success through the air. And I think naturally when you are kind of one dimensional, people watch tape, right, Smitty? And they're going to start seeing a lot of the concepts that you're doing, right? They're going to start seeing a lot of the tendencies that you have, and they're going to elect to take away that stuff. That's why I said, even with Oklahoma, like, I know we had a bunch of yards, but I personally feel like they were trying to take away some of those deeper concepts that we had a lot of success on, and they were okay with giving up, you know, dumping it to Josh Cuevas, a 3-4, 6-yard pass. He just was good enough to make plays after the catch. But you saw what happened. Uh-huh. Sometimes they were breaking on the football and, you know, doing exactly how what they would like to do. Take away the deep and break on it nicely and come up with a tackle for a short gain. So I think just Ryan Grubb and this offensive group, man, they just got to find ways to attack these defenses again. Maybe mix it up a little bit, but hopefully find a way to get something going on the ground. But I'm with you. I don't think you naturally just see the running game all of a sudden to start hitting, but I think he definitely has room to improve. I don't think we'll be like a team where we average 140 plus, but if we can average about 120 per game, 130, which I think we're right. I mean, what are we at, like 115 or something? If we can find a way to get up to about 130 a game, I think that would help out a lot.
Yeah, and I'll say this before I run. Thanks for taking my call, as always. Maybe just maybe because they had a bye week, and maybe they knew, hey, Ty has a big brain. He's smart. let's use that against them, because, you know, people could do that sometimes, because people don't know. I think the average fan doesn't know. These defenders, these teams know how you twiddle your thumbs, what play is coming. And you had a bye week as well, and that's stuff that these committees never thought of, how many teams played had a bye week for Alabama. And I just think sometimes there ain't no magical play call. Sometimes you just lost. Sometimes you have a stinker. Because look at the NFL, for example. The Buffalo Bills lost to the Atlanta Falcons, and they stink. You know, it happens sometimes. You have a stinker. And I think sometimes, now, they lost, but you saw a lot of young guys give a great effort on bad plays. That's the stuff people look at on tape and say, hey, this was a bad play, but I like what you did here. And I think those there are some positives here, because you're seeing what people are doing when the bad happens. It's easy to see the good stuff when the good happens. It's easy to give good effort when you hit a deep pass or a punt return. It's another thing to see great effort when Lotsier Brooks missed a tackle or Michael Carroll chasing down that guy, his best for that pick six. Those are things that you could work with any day of the week, you know. And the one thing I'll say is, Christian, the special teams, it's like trying to clean up dirty water. You can't make dirty water clean. It is what it is. We just can't put that boy out there less than 30 yards. He stinks. Connor Talty stinks. There's a reason the boys paid that kicker in the portal last year. And Connor Talty, I don't know, but he might want to look up the next CDL course in Tuscaloosa by the end of the season. But, hey, jeez, you guys have a good one, man.
Appreciate you, Smitty. Goodness. He definitely let him have it on that one. Man, well, hopefully he's probably getting a good degree. I don't know if he'll take the CDL route, but some good money to be made there, too, as well. Excuse me. All right, we got to hit time out. We come back and keep on rolling. Right here, time, 100.9, 1230 WTVC.
Quick, it's easy, and it's free. Go to MyLocalCustomers.com today.
That's MyLocalCustomers.com. MyLocalCustomers.com.
Do you have cracks or potholes that are dragging down your property's appeal? Hey, I'm Christian Miller, and at Asphalt Restoration, we transform driveways and parking lots with expert repairs, new paving, or resurfacing. Fast, durable, and family-owned quality that you can trust. Don't let small issues turn into big expenses. Call 205-393-9149 for your free estimate today. That's 205-393-9149. Asphalt Restoration, where smooth roads start. Roll Tide.
From our home base in Birmingham, Alabama, we are here treating patients from every generation
across the United States
and from around the world.
We're here for the rookies and the dreamers
trying to make a name for themselves.
We are here for the achievers
who are resilient
and won't take no for an answer.
We're here for the coaches,
athletic trainers, and mentors
who are shaping the next generation of legends.
We are here for you,
aggressively pursuing
victory over injury.
Learn more at andrewsportsmedicine.com.
Your flagship home of Alabama sports.
We are a championship school, and school is in session.
Makes the catch, makes them bang into each other, stays on his feet, breaks the tackle, scores, scores, scores!
Join us Saturday as the Crimson Tide take on the Eastern Illinois Panthers. Our coverage begins at 10 a.m. on your home for Alabama football.
Presented by Pearl River Resort in Choctaw, Mississippi. Online at pearlriverresort.com. And Tuscaloosa Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram. Online at TuscaloosaCDJR.com. And by DCH Regional Medical Center. Online at DCHSystem.com.
Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather. A warm afternoon, a mix of sun and clouds, the high 79. Becoming cloudy tonight, the low 61. For tomorrow, cloudy with periods of rain, the high 74. Saturday, the chance of a morning shower, the high at 76 degrees. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 75 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
This is Miller's Edge on Tide 100.9.
And welcome back into this Thursday edition of Miller's 100.9, 1230 WTBC. I'm sure you guys are well aware it's Thursday. I don't have to keep saying the Thursday edition, but there you go. This is my thing I like to do. All right, we got some tape pulled up. While we're talking about what we want to see from our guys this weekend, I figured why not just keep looking at some of the things that we do need to clean up. So I got this game from Oklahoma last week pulled up. You guys want to check that out at the Miller's Edge on YouTube. Still doing everything normal. Just I got it kind of going while we talk to our listeners on the phone lines, 205-342-9904. We got Raymond up next. Raymond, welcome in. Hey, Raymond, you with us? Going once, twice. Chase, you still with us? Raymond, can you hear us? He might have forgot that he was on there. Chase, you can just drop him for now if he calls back. We'll take him then. 205-342-9904 is the number to the program. Sorry, Raymond. Think you might have dropped. That being said, I got this tape pulled up. We just were breaking some of the stuff down from what we're seeing. But I thought Phil had a good point. If you do think about it, I think one of the things that Ty could probably work on is getting his timing back a little bit quicker, right? I feel like that is a good point. The last couple of weeks, part of the reason I feel like he's been off with some of that is some of the timing has been a little bit off. I know we just watched that play a second ago where unfortunately the pressure came home, and I call it a pressure. It's really a simulated pressure. Only brought four, but the game up front that they ran got home, and that threw off his timing, right, without a doubt. But we did have Quavis down the field open. There was a bust on their coverage in the back end. Unfortunately, we didn't have enough time to hit it. But there was another throw, and it was actually, I think it was right before halftime. We were trying to get into field goal range. I could be wrong, but I just remember there was another throw we had where Ty, I think it was when Jeremy Bernard caught it, but he was out of bounds. That's what it was. I remember that one, and I thought timing was late on that. Because if you throw that ball a little bit sooner, because he had it a little bit earlier, if you throw that a little bit sooner, Jeremy should catch that inbounds and ends up being a completion. So, like, little stuff like that is why I agree with what Phil's saying. I do feel like timing has been a little bit off again. And that was one of the biggest issues against Florida State, that timing was off with him. So we just got to get that back. And I think, look, it happens sometimes. You just kind of get off of a groove. It's no different than like golf, right? I don't know how many of our listeners play golf. But there's just sometimes, man, your timing and your swing, it just one little detail is off, and it kind of alters a number of things. I think that's all we're seeing, because we know how accurate Ty is. He's got to get back in that rhythm, and I think he'll be all good to go. In terms of the whole debate about the resting guys or playing them, seems like most people are I don't know. I feel like we're kind of split, Chase. Tia said, rest. Even God rested. That's true. While that is true, it depends on what type of rest we're talking about. I'm like, here's my thing. I gave my answer. If I'm the coach, I'm anticipating letting our guys rest up a little bit second half, but I'm not sharing that with them. I want them going out there with the idea that they're playing the whole 60 minutes if they have to. Chase, if you're head coach Kalen DeBoer, or if you're head coach Chase Brumsfield of the Alabama Crimson Tide, man, you got this matchup coming up. Knowing what's down the road and what's at stake, how are you handling, or what's your mindset with this game?
I think I'm watching the first quarter for sure. I think it's a very skewed line you do not want to play, because you want to get your guys rested, right? And every opponent is a serious opponent. You know, I've learned here in Tuscaloosa, every game matters until you lose one. And I don't want that for Bama. So I think seeing your players play first in the first quarter, maybe the first series, then you take them off. Then you kind of allow them to rest, get the other starters, the second and third strings in. And then you go from there and you give them some experience. But I shouldn't expect a lot of the starters to play even past the second quarter because of what happened last year. Because look how well they dominated them. And that opponent, was it Mercer they played last year? Okay. And look how much they dominated them. And this is a better team, I would say, this year in Bama than it was last year. So, and you do not want to have any injury reports next week. You need everybody rested, everybody mentally charged up and ready to go. So I'm on the side of rest them, bite the bullet. If it's like a 20-point lead, who cares? The win is a win. You want to focus on Auburn as much as possible, and you want everybody suited up, ready to go for war.
Yeah. I mean, and that's true. I forgot who said it earlier. I kind of like the, I think it might have been Jake, basically just saying that, to be fair, I mean, the reps that you get in practice against, you know, your good on good units, I mean, it's probably going to be more beneficial than the likes of the reps that they'll see this weekend. So there's so many things considered. I mean, I guess there's not really a right or wrong answer, but knowing they're coming off of a loss, I mean, I think these guys are going to be fired up, coming out ready to play. And I think it's really just going to just go with the flow of the game. Kind of like you're saying, like, if we're up 30 points going into the third quarter, they probably will get rested a little bit more. If it's a little bit closer, which I don't think it should be, maybe not so much. We'll see. I mean, because with us, man, like, I feel like Coach Saban used to low-key want to keep us in as long as possible because they were more so concerned about our numbers, which is kind of, I mean, I kind of understand it, right? Because if you pull the starters too soon and then you let them kind of just get these free yards and stuff like that, it kind of affects, like, our numbers. And maybe he could care less about stats because he would never say that. But I feel like deep down, him or maybe even the coordinators, like, because I'm telling you, when the backups got in, if we made a mistake, oh, man. Dude, he would be livid. Like, I mean, like, he expects the same out of everybody. It doesn't matter, even if you're like a walk-on get in the game, your ass better play like the starter. If not, man, you're definitely going to hear it. But I don't know, definitely an interesting conversation about that. We got hit a timeout. We come back. We keep on rolling, keep on talking about it. We keep on looking at this tape, too. We got that pulled up, looking at the offense from the Oklahoma game, looking at some more things that we need to clean up for this weekend. So if you guys want to watch that, I break it down a little bit more during the breaks. So you can come check that out at the Miller's Edge. Quick timeout. Be right back.
Your flagship home of Alabama sports. We are a championship school, and school is in session.
Make the catch. Make them bang into each other. Stays on his feet. Breaks the tackle. Scores.
Join us Saturday as the Crimson Tide take on the Eastern Illinois Panthers. Our coverage begins at 10 a.m. on your home for Alabama football.
Presented by Pearl River Resort in Choctaw, Mississippi. Online at pearlriverresort.com. And Tuscaloosa Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram.
Of the Crimson Tide, sold in stadium and at bars, restaurants, and stores near you. Must be 21. Please drink responsibly.
From our home base in Birmingham, Alabama,
we are here treating patients from every generation
across the United States
and from around the world.
We're here for the rookies
and the dreamers
trying to make a name for themselves.
We are here for the achievers
who are resilient
and won't take no for an answer.
We're here for the coaches,
athletic trainers, and mentors
who are shaping the next generation of legends.
We are here for you,
aggressively pursuing victory over injury.
Learn more at AndrewSportsMedicine.com.
What does it mean to advertise and do your marketing with Town Square Media Tuscaloosa? Melissa started her business in 2014. What would you say to someone considering Town Square Media Tuscaloosa?
My experience with Town Square Media has been awesome, and I would definitely recommend it to anyone. I think that this is the first time in my marketing experience that I've been able to see my return on investment. I would definitely say in the past, that has not been the case. In this, I like knowing that that's 100%. A lot of the marketing we've done has been radio. You guys have so much more to offer than that, whether it's, you know, websites from targeted marketing to radio. You are kind of a one-stop shop, and it makes doing marketing so much easier. So I would definitely recommend it.
Tell your doctor if you have an infection, flu-like symptoms, or if you need a vaccine. Ask your doctor about Tremfya. Call 1-800-526-7736 or visit Tremfya.com.
This is Miller's Edge on Tide 100.9.
Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC, presented by the Good Feet Store, America's Arch Support experts have been talking a good bit about this Eastern Illinois game. Not too much of a big detail breakdown on those guys. We talked about them, the dual quarterback system. One of them's a dual threat. One of them's more of a passer. Six-game losing streak, FCS team. I think we kind of know writing on the wall when it comes to this. One thing, Chase, we hadn't talked about after that loss to Oklahoma that I wanted to get y'all's opinion on. I'll ask you, too. Before that loss to Oklahoma, and even though we had kind of, you know, been a little sluggish offensively, man, there's a lot of talk about Ty Simpson. I mean, he's shooting up draft boards. I mean, talking about the Heisman conversation. Matter of fact, before the loss to Oklahoma, Ty was – on some sites, I believe first or second in terms of betting favorites to win the Heisman. After the loss to Oklahoma, and actually not even after, I think like literally by halftime, on some sites he already was kind of dropping down it. And again, listen, this is that week. We got plenty of time to talk about a number of things, so I'm just curious y'all's thoughts. How do you see him finishing out the season in terms of those things? First, I'll ask you about the Heisman. I mean, do you still think, I mean, he's definitely still in the running to win it, right? There's still plenty of time. There's still several games, and he's got some big games that he can go out there and showcase some stuff. Do you still feel like Ty Simpson has a good chance of winning it? I mean, I know, again, we know he has a chance, but how do you feel? How strong do you feel, Chase, that he ends up winning it at this point?
I feel like it's a little harder now. With the losses to Oklahoma, it kind of put a skew in his portfolio a little bit. You're asking him to ball out like crazy with the amount of competition that is left in the season. Now they're accounting in the postseason, then it's still an open race in my opinion because of the possible opponents in the future. But I feel like there's a possibility with the way Fernando Mendoza has been playing in Indiana, and then with Julian Sain at Ohio State, and then forgot about Marcel Reed. You know, he's going up against stout QBs who haven't missed a step this season. And in terms of finishing out the season, I don't think he loses a step. I think it's more of like just mental fatigue. You know, Ty has really done a full season in a uniform here at UA. So I think more of just like getting through the long season of just preparing, doing the same thing over and over and over, it can get to a quarterback, you know, especially if he hasn't played in the SEC. But I think he'll be fine. He'll do what he needs to do, but it's going to be a tight one to finish out the season.
You also got to think, too. Hey, Christian, you also got to think, too.
I was like, wait, who is that? I thought someone infiltrated the show. I was like, wait, what the world?
My bad, dog. SEC championship performance is taken into this as well. What happens if Ty Simpson, who's been consistent all year long, puts up 250 yards, two or three touchdowns, and takes down a potentially undefeated number three in the SEC championship?
Well, that's a great point. I mean, he should, without a doubt, climb right back in there. I mean, I'm looking at, I guess, these odds from FanDuel going into week 13. I don't even see him in like the top, what would that be? Almost a top 10 or something like that. Maybe there's just a mistake. He's not on here. But I'm with you. I mean, he's got the opportunities. I mean, if you go have a hell of a game against Auburn. I know it's still Auburn, so that's not going to probably move the needle too much, but they have a good defense. And if he goes out and puts some crazy performance out there, I mean, three touchdowns through the air, 350 plus yards, I mean, that could be at least, I guess, something to kind of get moving back in that direction. Then, like you mentioned, I mean, SEC championship game, you do it against a top three ranked team, I without a doubt would think he would move back in there. I kind of am with Ricky, though, not completely, because Ricky said in the chat, Julian or Mendoza was always going to win. I don't agree that they were always going to win. I think they always, at least Mendoza had a lot of hype. Sam is interesting. I feel like he doesn't get as much credit for what he's doing. I mean, his completion percentage, if I read that right, I mean, Chase, is it like close to 80%? Is that right?
It is. It's Saiyan's done a really good job. It's just Ohio State's schedule. I mean, we talk about it every year. Ohio State's schedule hasn't been the best out there. I mean, obviously you had the win against Texas, but, you know, your marquee game against Penn State kind of got knocked down a little bit after Penn State fell off. And so, I mean, the schedule hasn't quite been there. Now they do get Michigan at the end of the season. That game's going to be in the Big House over there in Ann Arbor. Michigan's a top 20 team. So maybe you get the job done against Michigan, and then Saiyan starts to get a lot of that recognition. And then, assuming Ohio State and Indiana win out, you're playing number one versus number two in the Big Ten championship game at that point. So I think he'll get the recognition, and probably that performance in the Big Ten title game. Whoever wins that game is winning the Heisman Trophy, whether it be Mendoza or whether it be Saiyan. Unless Michigan somehow pulls it off for the fifth straight season, and then all of a sudden you've got, you know, Indiana, Oregon in the Big Ten championship game for some reason.
That would throw everybody for a loop. That would throw everything off. But I'm with you, though. It is kind of funny. It does seem like that. I mean, whoever wins that game out of Indiana or Ohio State probably goes on to win the Heisman Trophy, which it's unfortunate, because I'll be honest, man. I thought Ty definitely, you know, the way he was playing before South Carolina, I mean, if he continued on that track, I mean, I definitely think it would have been a three-man race without a doubt, and he really would have had a great chance. But I think after South Carolina's performance, LSU just being, again, wasn't bad by any stretch, but still just wasn't anything really to run home about. Then, you know, Oklahoma, it's kind of hard to play catch-up at that point. But, you know, listen, one thing I do know about these awards is typically – whoever's on the team that ends up accomplishing the most normally gets a big boost, or at least a big consideration. So if Alabama happens to, by the time they end up voting on it, find ways, like we just mentioned, to he puts up big performances and we come out and get big wins over a team like Texas A&M, I mean, I wouldn't be shocked if he definitely still has a chance. Do you guys think he at least is a finalist by the time, you know, they select that whole group?
If Alabama wins the SEC, I think Ty Simpson is a finalist, just because he's been so consistent all year long. I mean, he had at least two touchdowns in every single game that he had played leading up to LSU. LSU, he had the one passing touchdown, and then Oklahoma, he had the one passing touchdown. He's been nothing but consistent for Alabama, and he's been, honest to God, probably one of the biggest reasons this team was doing what they were doing. I mean, Jeremy Bernard's been really consistent as well, but I think you go put up a big performance down there on the Plains. Auburn's got a top 40 total defense. Like, that's not a pushover team, even though their record indicates otherwise. And then you do it against Texas A&M, who I think has a top 30 total defense. I mean, the biggest thing with Ty Simpson is that you watched him play that Missouri team, who is the only top 10 passing defense Alabama's faced this season. And he puts up 200 yards and multiple touchdowns. Against Oklahoma, he put up 326 passing yards. The highest total defense possible that you can play before getting into the playoffs is Georgia, again, at number 20. He had three touchdowns against Georgia in September. Texas A&M's in that 31 range there. So you'll play a couple of, I don't want to call them easier defenses, but compared to what Oklahoma was, you are going to play some easier defenses. Still really good in college football. Still going to take care of your business, but you'll get the opportunities to play some, to put up some numbers and kind of enter that territory of Saiyan, who's got 25 passing touchdowns. Mendoza's got 30 on the season. So you'll be able to enter that territory a little bit here for Ty Simpson, I think, over the next couple of weeks.
Yeah, no, I agree. I mean, the opportunity should be there. He just got to take advantage of them. And again, I think when the team has success, it typically does well and bodes well for the guys on the team as well. It doesn't matter if it's the Heisman or Butkus, Allen, whatever. That typically is how that works. All right, real quick, Chase, we can just combine breaks. We'll just get out of here by like 54, if that's cool, since we're already pushing and we're on this this conversation. Who would those, in y'all's minds, who do y'all have as y'all's locks? Not locks, but if y'all had to, I guess, come up with the four finalists, like if you had to guess. But I think it's safe to say Mendoza and Julian Sand, I mean, those take up two slots, so only four. If it's not Ty Simpson at the third spot, who do y'all have? I mean, you got Marcel Reed, he's plus 600. You got Diego Pavia, plus 1,500. Gunnar Stockton, he's been playing some good ball as a recent, plus 2,500. Hayes King, Jeremiah Love, running back from Notre Dame. Jeremiah Smith, receiver from Ohio State. How about this one? Some love for some defensive guys. Jacob Rodriguez, he is a star at Texas Tech. I love the way he plays, man. That dude, he reminds me of like Luke Kuechly, Patrick Willis. I mean, like the way he reads and his instincts, and he's just all over the place. He's a damn good player. He's clearly not going to win the Heisman. But who would y'all have as y'all's four finalists? If you just had it going off of where we're at right now today, and if you had to guess where they'll be at.
Mendoza and Sayan are one and two in this race, in my opinion. So obviously those two. Marcel Reed, if Texas A&M goes to the SEC championship game, loses by, I don't want to say a field goal, but loses by, you know, a score at that point. And so I think Reed would be in the conversation there. I do think that, unfortunately, it's kind of just turned into a quarterback award. Jeremiah Love needs to be in this conversation. Jacob Rodriguez and David Bailey, both at Texas Tech, absolutely need to be in this conversation. They're not, but they need to be. I wouldn't be shocked if the winner of Georgia Tech would be in there, Gunnar Stockton and Haynes King, because those are two really good quarterbacks. Haynes King is the lifeblood of that Georgia Tech team. I mean, there was a story I read where they said he would willingly die on a football field before willingly accept a defeat at Georgia Tech. So putting your life on the line like that for your team. Hey, take down Georgia, and all of a sudden Georgia Tech becomes a really big contender for the playoffs there. And even still, right, Georgia Tech, if they win this weekend, they clinch a spot in the ACC championship game. Defeat Georgia Tech and win the ACC in back-to-back weeks, that might be enough to put Haynes King in that conversation. So Mendoza staying in Reed, I think, and then the winning quarterback of Georgia Tech will probably be your Heisman finalist, unless you see Ty Simpson have a really good day against Auburn and then win the SEC championship as well.
Refresh for a second. You guys still got me?
Yeah, can you hear us?
Yeah, sorry. I think the internet kind of buffered for a second. So you said the winner of Georgia Tech, Wyatt.
Gunnar Stockton or Haynes King. Whoever wins that matchup, I think, goes to New York for the Heisman ceremony. And then Mendoza saying, and then probably I would say Marcel Reed, unless Ty Simpson has a really good day against Texas A&M in the SEC championship game, then at that point I could see Ty getting the nod over some of these other guys.
So to summarize it, do you think the winning quarterback out of the SEC championship game and the winning quarterback out of the Georgia Tech game will be the two to join Mendoza and Julian Sands?
There's a world that the winner of Georgia Tech and the winner of the SEC is Gunnar Stockton. There's a world out there where that is the case. So,
that's true.
At that point, I think you would get, if that does happen, I do think you get like a Jeremiah Love in there as a finalist, but he'd be number four. As much as I would love to see another running back win the Heisman, I think he'd probably place fourth out of the four finalists in New York.
Yeah, he's a really good player. I just don't. I mean, we all know how the Heisman goes. I mean, it's literally quarterbacks galore.
It's a QB award.
Yeah, I mean, it really is, and that's why to me it always bothers me, because I'm like, it's the most valuable player. Right, so who is the most valuable player, whether that's on their team in college football? I mean, it should cover all that criteria. And to me, I understand quarterbacks a lot of the time do provide, you know, a lot to their teams, and we all know that. But I mean, there's certain situations, like, I mean, you look at Travis Hunter, who did win the Heisman. I mean, I don't think there's any denying. I mean, what he was doing was incredible. Even Ashton Jensen, I mean, what he did at the running back position. I mean, like.
Yeah.
That was, I mean, that dude was insane. Derrick Henry, who I played with, he won the Heisman for what he was doing on the ground. I mean, I think it just also depends, too, on the type of year. I've said this before, and I still feel like this. I just feel like there's not really, like, too many guys in college football right now that are just, like, breathtaking, generational-type players, at least of what they're doing this season, like Mendoza. He's a great quarterback, but do I feel like he stacks up with some of the other guys we've seen in the Heisman race in recent years? Him and Julian saying, like, as good as they are, you get what I'm saying? Like, I just don't think we have, like you mentioned, I mean, Jacob Rodriguez on the defensive side, but he's just not going to win that award. I mean, Jeremiah Love, he's a really good player, but I mean, I don't see anybody that just really blows me away in college football right now. And I don't know if it's because of parity. I don't know if it's just one of those years where it kind of feels like a down year? I mean, would you say it's a little bit of a down year in terms of talent? Why?
I would. I would think it's the parity in college football. It's the fact that the talent pool's been kind of distributed a little bit better. I also think the clock rules have had something to do with this, right? The clock does not stop on first down like it used to. You know, the clock, I don't think the clock stops when they run out of bounds either until a certain time window in each quarter. So, I mean, these games, you're getting less plays in each game. So where Mendoza's got 30 touchdowns this year, you go plop him in 2019 and play 2019 clock rules. Hey, maybe he's got 35 at this point in the season. He puts up five over the next 2 weeks, and that's a 40-touchdown season. Well, that's what Mac Jones and Joe Burrow were doing when they were Heisman finalists and when Burrow won the Heisman Trophy. So I think clock rules is a part of it, just the parity in college football as well. If you're talking about most valuable to their team, I don't know how it could be anybody but Haynes King. He's got 2,200 passing yards, 10 touchdowns, 807 on the ground, and 14 rushing touchdowns. Like, that guy's putting up numbers. He is the only reason Georgia Tech is doing much of anything at this point.
Yeah, that's a very valid point, man. I'm not going to lie. I mean, I didn't really look at it like that from that perspective. I mean, you're right. I mean, he should be deserving of at least consideration of being up in New York. If we're talking about most valuable player, you're right. I mean, everything that they're doing, he's been huge for at Georgia Tech program. It's going to be interesting. We'll definitely keep an eye on it. We'll keep
Take down a Kirby Smart-led Georgia team, and Haynes will get the recognition he deserves.
Yeah, no, 100%. No, I was going to say, I think the conference, unfortunately, probably hinders him a little bit, but you're right. You win that Georgia game, man. That's definitely going to give you that recognition. All right, that's going to do it. We're going to get out here a little early and pass on over to Wyatt, who you just heard from, joining us here in the last segment or two. So big thanks to him for doing that. He's coming up next right here, Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC. That'll do it for us here on this Thursday edition of the Miller's Edge, presented by the Good Feet Store, America's Art Sport Experts. Tomorrow, we got a free-for-all Friday, Prediction Friday, so we'll see you guys then right here, Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC.